Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 202 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. Beginning in entertainment, we're going to talk about the footage from Avatar 2, Moon Knight, a bunch of cancellations in the comic book TV world, and then jump over into tech, where, of course, we'll talk about some crypto and NFT news, some Apple anti-competitive behavior, and some space talk. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and here we are with episode 202. And this week, we got a big week in what we'll say entertainment that we're looking forward to. This week we've got a movie worth going to see this weekend. And, Doctor Strange comes out on Friday. I know I'm going to try to see it before I go travel for some work related things. I'm sure you already have your tickets, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I have Thursday night tickets. I bought those quite a while ago. I get email alerts. So as soon as they release, I get on it because I can pre-order the tickets through the AMC app. And I ain't trying to get locked out. I've had a few times where I forgot. And like, there's like only random one seats left, like in the front row. And like, yeah, it's not something I like to experience. So I make sure I get it.
What's your general thoughts? You think set your expectations?
My expectations are pretty high on this. Like they're setting out to do a lot just from the trailers and everything that we've seen. Like they're really setting out to do a lot with this show. So I don't know. I'm anxious to see what goes on with this.
I'm anxious to see. I love the Doctor Strange character. I've actually only seen the original teaser trailer. Once, like especially with like the Marvel movies, like the big ones that I know I'm going to go see. I actually hate watching all of the trailers and then like all of the dissections of the trailers and all that stuff. Like I just have to. I try to stay away. Like I try to go in fairly clean slated. So the only one I've seen is the original theatrical trailer or whatever else that they released.
Yeah, and I don't watch any of those YouTube videos where they pause the trailer and show like the blurry character in the background and try to guess. Like that is just way too much for me, and I don't understand what you get out of knowing all of it. Like I swear to God, some of these YouTubers and stuff, they don't want to like enjoy the movie. Like they get off on guessing everything that's going to happen and walking in, and like I just don't understand that mentality. Like it's supposed to be entertainment. They find the entertainment in like this puzzle of figuring out all the Easter eggs and figuring out everything before the movie happens and then posting it on the internet for everybody to fucking see. Like you are a dick.
I mean, they get paid to do this because so many people watch it and they get it. I mean, there's a financial incentive for them to ruin movies.
Yeah, well, financial incentive from other dicks. Like, find your own fucking corner of the internet to like do this on. It doesn't need to be on the most popular socials of the world for every random algorithm, because that's what happens is the algorithm says, hey, you like nerd shit. Here's some nerd shit. Let me ruin all your movies for you. Like swap the algorithm then. Like, no, like I should be able to have a no spoiler algorithm and it just weeds out all the fucking jagoffs. Speaking of spoilers, like all you motherfuckers posting Ozark fucking spoilers right now, you are the fucking worst. I hate you fucking people. I defriended two fucking randos already this fucking week because of fucking Ozark spoilers. Like they dropped the entire season in one day. It just came out on like what, Friday? I have one episode left to fucking watch. You can't even give me the fucking weekend, you pieces of shit.
All right, struck a chord. Honestly, I haven't seen any of the spoilers for Ozark. Now I know I'll have to avoid them. I'm like living in a hole, and I didn't even realize that they posted the final part.
Yeah, it must be nice just to be a fucking ostrich and bury your fucking head for a fucking week.
Yep, that's generally how I live. So I guess I'll add that to my things to do and get caught up on the Ozark probably tomorrow.
Yeah, it was bad. Like I just scrolled and I saw what one dude said and I was like, you were the worst. Like it's like, and I barely talked to you. Like you're gone. You're gone. Like that was your last straw. Like you're gone.
So how do you feel about like the YouTubers that dissect things like after they've played, like after the Moon Knight episode or whatever else, and doing like the the Easter eggs and the spoilers and stuff, diving into those.
So on a show like Moon Knight, I don't mind it.
Sometimes spoils the future, too.
Well, so they go theoretically, like, it, that isn't as bad, I think, as the other two mentioned, because Moon Knight does do a weekly, you have to watch one episode before that ruins it. And most likely, they don't put it out till a day, or sometimes it's the same day because they watch it at midnight and they do their fucking editing and you post it.
It's always the same day.
But, like, you should be able to mitigate that risk. Like, you should be able to watch Moon Knight that night, stay away from spoilers for 24 hours. Like, it's the people that binge watch a fucking 10-episode series in a day and start posting all kinds of shit, like, before... Like, people have lives, man. Like, the fuck is wrong with you? Just show some goddamn respect, or at least, you know, like, I write reviews. It always says, one, I do spoiler-free. I ain't trying to ruin nothing for nobody. And then, two, in the group, if we do spoilers, which we usually have a moratorium on for a little bit, after that, it's like, hey, man, you don't want to know, don't read this shit. Like it's not in the first five words of a sentence that you're scrolling through that your brain just automatically scans because it's out of habit. You know, your brain just automatically reads the first five words of, like, every sentence you scroll as you're going through. So if it's fucking Bruce Willis is a ghost, the first five fucking sentences, you're fucked, bro. You're fucked.
Yeah. Well, I like the breakdowns of things. Yeah, after the fact, I agree. I stay away from, like I said, I don't look at trailer reviews. I don't look at any of that stuff. If I don't see, like, Doctor Strange on the opening night, I will go dark on social media and everything else because I just don't trust anybody. So until I go see it, the videos that, like, YouTubers do dissecting, like, all the Easter eggs inside episodes and stuff like that. Like, I watch all of them. Like,
yeah, I watch
Moon Knight, and I immediately go to YouTube afterwards and I watch the breakdowns because, man, those people are just way better at knowing all the deep cuts.
But those
and all
are a little different too,
I know.
Because, like, if you're watching YouTube and you're just letting shit autoplay and you let it autoplay because you're spaced out so deep into the algorithm that one of those comes up, it's kind of your fault, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a little different than just
they
a
do
tweet.
A pretty good job of, like, spoilers at the beginning and all that stuff.
It's a little different than just a random tweet or a fucking, you know, a Facebook status update that just gives away everything in the first fucking couple sentence. Like, why'd they have to kill blah, blah, blah? Like, why do you exist, you piece of shit? That's what I want to know. Why the fuck do you even exist?
Well, you know, we mentioned Moon Knight. We can just talk real fast. Apparently, there's been a change. I didn't notice it, like, you know, personally or see it or whatever else, but I saw some articles about, you know, Moon Knight. Apparently, like, they've changed the description of the episode in Disney Plus from a series finale to a season finale, as, like, the show description, which originally was series finale, kind of like what WandaVision was. And, you know, after the fact, they came out and said, like, no. This was it. This was a limited run series. This was not a season. This is not going to be a continued thing, which is why, like, for Emmys and everything else, it was considered a mini series and not considered a traditional TV show. Moon Knight seems to be staying in the TV show category with a season finale, obviously then implying that there's going to be more.
Well, with how good this was, you knew this was coming. I can't remember if it was me and you talking last week or if I was talking...
I don't think we've talked about Moon Knight yet.
Well, then I was talking to somebody in my garage about it, and they're like, you know, can you believe it's only going to be one season? I was like, let Oscar Isaac marinate on this for a little bit and realize how good this was. And there's no way they're going to let this go just miniseries. Like, there's no way, with the amount of new characters they introduced and how good it was, that they were just going to let this be a one-off.
Yeah, and there's a lot more to explore than what they've been able to get through so far in five episodes. And I know the sixth episode is supposed to be, like, the longest running, like, anything Disney Plus episode. It's almost like a mini movie going into this last episode. But still, I don't think they're going to wrap up all of the things that really the direction that they can take the Moon Knight character.
I mean,
and
if they
his
did
personalities
wrap up all
and all
of
that
things.
Stuff.
Even if they did wrap it up, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out.
Yeah. I understand there's a lot more to explore.
And I said, too, like, once Oscar Isaac realizes the fandom that's associated with this show, he should take every opportunity to never be known as Poe ever again and ride off into the sunset as the Moon Knight. Like if you have an escape hatch from the toxic Star Wars Skywalker saga, then you fucking take it, pal. I'm sure, I can't remember the actor's name, but I'm sure Finn is like, hey man, can I give me a Marvel show, yo? The only one who made it out of there all right is Daisy Ridley, I think.
Yep, probably. But yeah, I don't know. I'll watch whatever they put out. The Moon Knight show is phenomenal. It's just such a different take, different version of anything that Marvel's really done.
Well, and from the whatever, Thor trailer, you could kind of piece together that like.
Again, I haven't watched the Thor trailer. I've seen only the initial teaser trailer and whatever. I don't need to see more. I'm going to go see the fucking movie.
Well, since I watched the Thor trailer.
Go ahead, break it down. Like those YouTubers you hate, you son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, in the trailer, you see that it's not like a blurry character. I can't remember who he's even playing. Is it Russell Crowe? Somebody is playing Zeus. You could see it's like Greek mythologies in there. So like Thor at some point meets the Greek gods. You know, now we have the Egyptian gods. They're expanding on that like universe of like, it's very Neil Gaiman-ish, you know, for Marvel to be exploring into. Which I'm kind of interested to see how they play it. You know, like Asgard was like a planet when, you know, the humans worship it as a, you know, a god-like heaven entity. So I'm waiting to see how they explore obviously all these aspects.
The Egyptian gods still remain on Earth. You know, they're still tethered to Earth.
You know, so, and obviously Greek mythology is going to play into the next Thor movie. So I'm interested to see where they take all this.
A whole bunch of powerful gods that did nothing about Thanos.
Yeah.
A bunch of fucking shits.
Fucking Eternals, fucking Zeus, all of them. Like, I'm all good. Y'all motherfuckers stopped believing and snapped us out of existence a couple centuries ago. Y'all on your own. Fucking fickle ass gods.
But let's talk about a few other entertainment topics. And we've got James Cameron's, CinemaCon, which had a couple newsy drops, things coming out of it. And probably the biggest one that was being talked about was James Cameron Avatar 2. Like, hey, it's actually going to happen. It's only been like delayed 7 years or whatever else. I think the original release date was supposed to be like 2014.
And he's got aspects for like 8 of them. So like at this point, I'll be seeing Avatar 6 when I'm 80.
So, but there's footage. People find the footage breathtaking and it visually appealing, which I think that was always expected, that whatever he was going to put out was going to push the limits of CGI and cinematography. And like, you know, didn't they film like half of this in like a water tank? So he almost drowned people to do this. So sure, it's going to look great. Let's see. If it holds up to the weight and the hype, and see if people care. Like, this is the thing. I think people will, but this is a long gap.
I think there's a large portion of people that still like. Other than the Titanic, I can't remember another movie where people saw it so many times. I remember when the Titanic came out. I had friends go with their girlfriends like, yeah, this is my 9th time seeing it. I was like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? You know, and then Avatar came on. They're like, yeah, I saw it 3-4 times, man. It was just so stunning. And I get it. It was right when 3D kind of like hit its peak or it was ascending to like popularity. And it did take advantage of some new technology and better. It was probably like the dawn of like 4K kind of like color and stuff like that. I don't know if you can carry that weight this time. You're going to have the Avatar fan. I mean, there's still people that dress as Na'vi at Comic-Con and shit. So you have that kind of fan base. But me personally, like, I'm going to go see it. Do I like give a fuck like that it took this long to come out? Like, no, I don't care. Like I wasn't dying to see Avatar 2. And like, it's they're releasing it in 3D again. 3D movies kind of died out. Like, I have a 3D TV. I can't find a 3D disc, Blu-ray to save the life of me. Like, just the original ones I bought, that's all I can watch in 3D now. You know, and so I don't know how many people give a shit about that anymore. Everybody and their mama's got a 4K TV in their house. Like, yeah, it looks visually stunning. You know what else looks visually stunning? Elder Ring in every fucking video game I ever fucking play in my home. Like, I don't know how impressive this is actually going to be. He's going to have to really come with it to impress me at this point. Like, I just think this is, you know, overhype for a lot of it. And, you know, I'm not going to walk in trying to hate it, but like, with as much as James Cameron has kind of hyped this up and as much as all the fans have hyped this up, you guys set the bar pretty fucking high.
Yeah, I still think it's going to set records or whatever else, whatever records are these days, right? This is the post-COVID records. It's not going to beat Endgame. I don't think it's still going to get people out in the theaters like that, but it's going to be huge, even just for the sake of like guys like me and you who it's like, all right, well, shit, we've been waiting 7 years for this thing. Like, I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to go see what he turned out. But
yeah, but I don't think it's going to have that same kind of, like, I don't understand why everybody saw that movie 8 times, the first one. Like so many people, I think a lot of it had to do with the, like, pre-4K TVs color and the peak of 3D technology combined. I think it was just perfect timing.
It was that face capture, like, yeah. we'd never seen somebody's personality come through in CGI like, yep. It was, and stuff like, yeah, there was so much that it actually did for the movie industry, like, but
now it's,
but
yeah, standard. No, like, now,
but
it's standard,
but now it's not a big deal, like, whatever. I'll see it.
But I mean, apparently, we did do stories that he was inventing new technology for these films. I don't know if it's on 2 or, you know, so I'm gonna go in with as much of an open mind as I can. But
no, well, this is number one of sequels up to 4, so every 2 years after this he's got a December release planned. Let's see if he can hit that timeline.
Yeah,
or
we'll
not
see.
But
we'll see.
But that's the plan. Did you see that you know, this was they set the release date for this, and it's the same release date as Shazam 2, which immediately WB had to push Shazam 2 back a week, which
I don't know why they balked, man. Because I'm telling you right now.
I don't even know. 1 week, I don't know if that really helps you very much. Like, yeah, there's going to be a die-off on Avatar 2, but Avatar 2 probably still beats you in week 2.
Well, and,
you probably
and if
still
you're,
take the top of box office in week 2.
If you're WB, why do you push it back? Why not push it up a week? Be like, fuck you, Avatar 2. We'll come out the week before you then. And maybe that'll affect your sales. How do you like that? Like, why do people, like, balk at this shit and be like, oh, we'll come out a week later? No, fuck you. We'll come out a week before. Movie's got to be done. You mean tell me a week on the timeline is really going to fuck up anything that they're doing?
Yeah, I would think that a week up would probably have served them better as far as ticket sales. Who knows the reason why they didn't, but they pushed back a week.
And honestly, they come out the same weekend, and I got to make that choice. I'm going to see Shazam. I love the first one. The first one was so entertaining for me.
Yeah.
Like, and I was really happy that DC had a win. You know, like that. Like, everything about that movie I loved. Like, you know, so like, I got to pick one of the two sequels, you know, of Blue Tail Fuckers or a fucking DC, like, success story. I'm going to the DC success story. I don't care.
Well, the director of David Sandberg, the director of Shazam 2, he just tweeted out just a simple statement, said, "You're welcome, Cameron. No need for thanks. The Abyss on 4K Blu-ray will be enough for me." Like, so he's embracing the fact that that he had to get pushed back, and yeah, you know, I guess you bow down to Cameron and Disney. You just
know.
Move out of the way.
That's
whatever.
That's,
whatever they set, you move out of the way.
That's too much beta energy for me. I don't respect that.
The mouse is alpha.
Well, you know, someone's got to tell him to fuck off.
All right. Well, speaking of telling people to fuck off, let's go over some cancellations here. And yeah. The CW, I think, is dead at this point in time, right?
I mean, honestly, I do watch the Superman and Lois show weekly. Like, that is actually a pretty decent show. So it's
never
got
seen it.
It's got that and the Flash. You know, people still love the Flash. So it's got two shows that are decently successful. But Batwoman getting canceled after 3 seasons, you knew that was coming. They've had 2 Batwomen in 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, Batwoman's dead.
That wasn't going to survive.
DC's Legends of Tomorrow,
who?
Which I thought was canceled like
who?
2.5 years ago.
Who?
Like, I watched one season of that on Netflix, and I thought, No, thank you. I don't need any more.
Nope.
I don't need any more. Like, it was terrible.
And they tied it in.
The fact that it's still going is amazing to
me. They tied it in with The Flash, too. That's how they brought the show in, right?
Oh, they tied it in with everything, right?
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah. Some of the characters that started it were from Flash and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And they still couldn't, you know, pick it off and running with that audience.
Or no, they're from Arrow, not from Flash. But yeah.
Well, yeah. Arrowverse. Yeah,
everything started with Arrow, right? Yeah. And I don't know. The CW had a hell of a run with these terribly made DC shows that just, whatever, they were good enough for people to just shut off their brain and watch.
Just show Smallville reruns for 24 hours a day. That's all you gotta do.
And now I think they're down to just two shows left in the CW Arrowverse, DCverse over there on CW. So, like, what else does CW have? Like, that's all you've got. You're down to two DC shows. I don't think you have anything else.
Well, in the comic realm.
Farewell.
Well, it technically is still the comic realm. I think that Riverdale still does pretty well for them. The Archie TV show. And Archie,
oh, I didn't
Archie,
know that was a thing.
Archie is a comic. Like, he like as much as you don't want to admit it, that Riverdale show is canon.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know a single human being who still watches like any of these DC shows personally. Like I don't operate in those circles of people who are still like watching the CW weekly and seeing the shows. And I'm surprised that you watched that Lois and Superman and Lois show.
I had to give it a shot once it first came out just so I can shit on it if I wanted to, and it actually turned out to be pretty decent. I just kind of kept watching. I'm actually a few episodes behind. I'm playing catch up to it now, but honestly, like, it's pretty well done. Like, I'm not
because you're saying that, if it shows up on Netflix or something, I'm gonna probably watch it.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll probably
give it a try.
It may, I don't know where it's, because it's on season two now, so if season one isn't up on Netflix, I don't know where the fuck you can binge
it. Might
it
be on Hulu or who knows. Well, where is WB shows supposed to go?
Well, so CW has their own like app, I know that much.
Yeah.
They tell you to watch it there, but I think it might be on
HBO
Hulu.
Max.
Yeah, I don't think it's on there either, because I stream. I scroll through all these apps looking for shit to watch all the time, and like, I don't know. It's a quick Google search away from figuring out. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But neither one of us.
We're not going to
do it.
we're going to move on, and let's move on. We normally don't do the gossip column here,
but fuck
on,
this bitch.
On the North Cantina. But man, this week is
fuck this bitch.
Is just on fire. And yeah, we've got the petition, which has reached, I think last I saw, was like 3.25 million signatures to remove Amber Heard from Aquaman 2, as that just train wreck of a divorce settlement.
It's not even a divorce
whatever
settlement.
It is.
It's
yeah,
a defamation
lawsuit.
Case. It's a defamation case.
As that continues to go. And
it's quality, man, entertainment. I'm going to tell you right now. It's
wild.
It's
like,
quality entertainment.
It's unfortunate, but it's going to be a Netflix documentary here soon. Like, they're not going to let this thing die. Like, sorry.
Oh,
sorry
no.
about your luck,
oh,
Johnny.
No. It's
going to
be Lifetime
Amber,
movies.
Like,
it's going to
oh,
be
yeah,
all of it. There's going to be 8 miniseries based on this. Like, because they got enough information through the court transcripts to, like, the thing writes itself.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, Peacock is going to, just like they did with the Tiger King, series about Tiger King. They're going to make a whole series about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
That Pam and Tommy
Oh, yeah.
show they did on Hulu was actually really good. I watched the whole thing. I loved it. Like, it was really good. You give me a Johnny and Amber fucking show like that, I'm down. I can't believe that, one, she hasn't been removed yet. Like,
Johnny got fired from everything.
He got fired from everything instantly.
From everything.
Everything instantly. Like, you know, like, I'm trying my hardest to not go down, you know, go full red pill right now. But, like, honestly, like, If you're a dude and you've ever had the crazy girlfriend that keyed your car, slashed your tires, you know, threw all your shit off the front deck, like, this is a win for you. Like this is like this is the win that you've been wanting, you know, most of your life. People don't realize, like, there are a lot of women out there like this. Like, nobody talks about it. Like, nobody talks about it. These are the women in orange jumpsuits in jail. And you're like, man, how does a women's jail get so full? From crazy bitches like this. Like, that's how. Like, there's a show, Orange is the New Black, because there's a lot of women like this out here. You know, and just like the absurdity, you know, like when we defend, you know, battered women and we have shelters for them. We tell them to get out and blah, blah, blah. And here's a dude that stayed through with shit on his bed, lost a fucking finger, lost all his jobs. Like, and he stayed with this woman, man. Like, if you ain't got love for Johnny Depp, like, you are a soulless fucking person. Like, is he a perfect person? No, no. Like, you could judge his life if you want to, too. But if you think he deserved any of this shit, like, you are savage. You are fucking savage. So, yeah, no, I, like, if Aquaman 2 comes out with her in it, out of like, the way my life is, I kind of have to see it. But I I really don't want to do it. I don't, like, I don't want to. I really don't want to.
Sorry, you could just boo her in the theater. You can, when she comes on the screen, just give her a nice boo.
No, honestly, they should just, like, forego. If they leave Amber Heard in it, they should release it straight to HBO Max and be like, look, we don't want to make y'all pay to see this.
They're not going to do that.
Oh, of course they're not. They should. I said they should. I know they're not. You know, they're going to try to recoup as money, you know, as the money dollars as they can from this. But you release Dune straight to fucking HBO Max. You release plenty of good fucking movies and fucked up their ticket sales for HBO Max. You could at least take one for the team and not force people to throw money down to support this hideous woman. Like,
well, and just another weird gossip story, because we're talking gossip. I'm going to, like, did you see that Olivia Wilde was, you know, the ex of Jason Sudeikis was issued her, was like served her custody papers for her kids, like on stage at CinemaCon. Like, somebody walked up on stage, handed her an envelope. She didn't know what it was while she was speaking at CinemaCon, and it was her custody papers from Jason Sudeikis.
So when I first saw it, I was like, wow, that is
savage.
That's brutal. But then I read the article, and they said it has more to do with the first person to serve the court papers. That's the county that the trial has to be in. So they said it was more strategic. It wasn't about, like, a gotcha moment or you know, like, her avoiding it and Jason being a dick. It was more about she was in the right place for Jason to want to have this, you know, for it to be favorable for him in court. So they had to serve her while she was in, you know, I don't know where the con was. I'm assuming it was LA something.
It didn't need to be on stage, but
I'm assuming
people were blaming Jason.
She might have been hiding before she got on stage. Like, she might not have been accessible until she actually hit the stage. A lot of these celebrities, especially at cons, they're just locked in a fucking green room that nobody can get in.
I mean, yeah, that's true. It's not like they're very easily accessible. A lot of people are, like, blaming Jason Sudeikis, and I was thinking, no, this isn't Ted Lasso's move. Like, he just, he just hired somebody to get the job done. Yeah. They did what they needed to do.
Yeah, dude, like, I got to serve some papers. I want that dude.
Above and beyond.
Yep.
This dude's earned his pay.
Every penny. Every goddamn penny. And, like, you really got to feel bad for it. Like, I mean, yeah, it's a little embarrassing that your business is out there, but, like, is it really that like, she got them papers, looked at it, should have just laughed it off, because you ain't Amber Heard. Like, nobody, you ain't Amber Heard. Like, but I guarantee there's going to be some extra eyeballs on this custody case now going forward, because people will be like, man, these celebrity trials, this is juicy. Yeah.
this is gold. Juicy. All right. Let's get out of gossip section here, and let's just jump into some tech. And first up, let's just talk a little bit about some crypto here. And an interesting story that Fort Worth, Texas, is now the first U.S. city to officially mine Bitcoin. Like, they are literally running some Bitcoin mining rigs out of their city hall offices, which, I mean, good, I guess, good on you, Texas.
So I didn't get a chance to read this one all the way through. So, like, I'm going to ask you for some deets. One, does the funds from that get put into the public coffer? So, like, is that Bitcoin mining going to, like, schools and shit like that?
It is getting added to their, yes, to their budget. They didn't buy the mining rigs. The mining rigs were donated. So they didn't spend any money on doing the mining.
Well, the energy costs.
Energy costs, which for the most part, that area, they're in on, like, sustainable energy. But, yeah, it's it's kind of a non-story. It's only three mining rigs. It's really not going to bring in any level of significant money from these Bitcoin mining rigs.
This kind of makes sense, right? Like in a state in a city where you look out the window and you see fucking nothing but a sea of oil fucking rigs. Like, doesn't it make sense to have the basic digital equivalent in the basement somewhere in Texas?
Well, and I mean, the truth is, you know, the vast majority of Bitcoin miners went to Texas after China banned Bitcoin mining. A lot of them moved their major Bitcoin farms over to Texas because of the cheap use of energy there. And
well, yeah, it makes sense. Like
if renewable energy
is
there.
You could have solar like crazy in Texas. You could have wind like crazy in Texas. You know, so you could essentially power this with nothing but renewables.
So yeah, I mean, so Texas became kind of the center of Bitcoin mining. About 2 years ago. So it makes kind of sense. But yeah, throw a couple mining rigs in a closet at City Hall and over and earn a few bucks. Show your support for cryptocurrency mining, which is a big part of now the state. And I don't know.
Well, if you're a resident of Fort Worth, you got to feel good knowing that, like, if they need more funds for whatever in the municipality, like, stop digging in my pocket, motherfucker. Like, figure out ways to be more efficient with your fucking money. And, you know, if they, it's a red state. They don't want to raise taxes. If they don't want to raise taxes, they throw some Bitcoin.
Go get some of that pretend internet money.
That's fine. I'm down with that. I'm down with that. I fully support it. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here in a blue state, and I got some fat shit governor who wouldn't do this to save his fucking life. He's just going to tax the fuck out of me.
All right. Well, we can keep chugging along on some crypto and NFT news, as I always like to talk. And this week, you can't talk about NFTs or crypto or whatever else without talking about ApeCoin and the Bored Ape Yacht Club Metaverse, the other side, which released this weekend and like broke everything.
This was some crazy shit.
It was absolutely wild. The amount of money that was spent into this. So, you know, they sold 100,000 plots. Really, only 55,000 of them were sold. The other ones were given out to owners of apes and what have you. But, you know, they raised almost $300 million in the land sale itself. But then on top of that, like, they burnt through gas transactions another almost $200 million of people, because in order to mint these, in order to buy the land, you had to be in the queue. You had to be set up in the blockchain queue in order for your transaction to go through. And people were just overpaying in gas in order to move themselves up and
overpaying is the fucking understatement of the century.
Get into a higher priority. They got to a point where, you know, these people were paying 2.5-3 ETH in gas fee, which means $9,000 about just to get the transaction to happen, right? They're essentially bribing the miners, bribing the system, $9,000 in order to hit their transaction highest in the queue and be able to mint these things out. And if you didn't do that, you missed out. Like, you weren't able to get it if you weren't willing to throw money away. And, like, it does throw money away. Like, that money gets, that is Ethereum, burnt, gone forever. Into the ecosystem.
Imagine if you had to go to the grocery store, and when you got to the counter to buy all your groceries, the dude at the register literally made you burn a $100 bill in front of him. Like, that's like essentially.
And the jackoff behind you just burned $125 to get in front of you so he can get home sooner.
This shit's insane, man. It's such an insane fucking process. Like, oh, you want these groceries? Burn that 20. Burn at 20, and then I'll let you pay. It's like, what? Like, what?
I mean, it's not an insane process. It's actually the kind of beauty of the system.
Nobody tell Grandpa Joe that, because he might try to fix inflation the same way.
It's a beautiful system and design. And in the end, you know, it really just comes down to the demand. The demand was so high, right? Like, the Bored Ape team didn't charge the people this much money. People did this to themselves through the demand and just wanting to get this and over running this up. And, you know, I was very critical over the weekend about the Bored Ape Yacht Club team, the Yuga Labs. I was very critical of them because they could have done better. Like, there were ways that they could have controlled the demand.
Well, they initially said it was going to be a Dutch auction.
No, they came out and said, they initially said it was going to be.
Well, not from, no, from the their, one article their exact I read.
Tweet, no, literally, their exact tweet was, "Dox auctions are bullshit. We are setting a price at 305.8.
Well, it must like, have been speculation because I read an, I read an article. Yeah,
it was speculation.
Okay.
Yeah, and their response was that they called Dutch auctions bullshit, which
I do think Dutch auctions are bullshit. Like, it is fucked up.
Yeah, to some degree. But they didn't need to do a Dutch auction to again, control demand and make sure that people don't get into this frenzy and just burn money. Like, you, as a team of people, you should do everything you can to protect your supporters, people who want to buy your product. You should do everything you can to protect them from burning additional money that isn't even going to you. You're like, they don't benefit by that money getting burnt. So, like, protect your customers, protect your supporters. And they could have done that through a phased launch where they did raffles and who gets to mint during certain windows. And just like what there were other projects that did that, like Moonbirds and Gary Vee's project, V Friends 2, that recently did it, that had huge demand, and they didn't run into any of these issues. Yuga Labs just didn't give a shit.
Let's
like,
be
they
real, though.
Wanted the FOMO train.
Bored Ape Yacht Club is it's the NFT version of the Mean Girls Club. It's not a it's a societal club to own these things. It's not like they're this all-inclusive community that want to benefit the art world and this and that. No, it's a bunch of uber elites way to kind of flex in the crypto world, in the DeFi world. And honestly, I kind of think that they just didn't give a shit because they're like, look, if you ain't got $3,000 to just burn, we don't want you in our club.
Oh, there was a lot of them that said that. There was a lot of them throughout the weekend.
It cost over a quarter million dollars.
Like, well, that's the cost of getting into our club. Like,
yeah.
If you couldn't make it, you're poor. You don't belong.
Yeah. Like, screw you, peasants. If you can't just burn 3 ETH for no fucking reason, you shouldn't be in our fucking club anyways. And like, if that's how they want to do it, fine. But don't be that fucking poor schmuck on the sidelines screaming, oh, this isn't fair, this isn't fair. Just say, fuck Bored Apes. Fuck Bored Apes. You think I give a fuck about a Bored Ape? Like just
see,
because it
I
is
was
that
somebody
club.
Coming out and not saying that it wasn't fair or whatever else. Fair is a term that really doesn't matter in a financial market, right? Like, fair is a fallacy. But in the end, I was just saying, like, as somebody who's a fan of NFTs, a fan of the NFT space and crypto space, like, Bored Ape is something that everybody knows, and Bored Ape needed to do better to do right by like the space in general, right? When we talk to new people about bringing new people in the end, like, the NFT space has to bring in more people. It can't just be more degens like me just essentially trading with each other and just dumping more money into it. Like, there's currently still, I think, only like 400,000 people that have NFTs, like, out of billions of people in the world, right? Like, we can bring in more people. You want to onboard more people. Well, when like Bored Ape screws this stuff up and it just like sets these ridiculous standards, ridiculous price, it discourages more people from getting in. So I wanted them to do it in a more, like, we can call it fair, but really just a more structured way that didn't become a joke.
Well, what
because I want more people.
What's really fucked up is that it doesn't just ruin it for the Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? Like, so every, you know, Twitter was lit with all kinds of DeFi news when this was going down and stuff. And it just reminded me, like, oh, I haven't done my crypto maintenance in a while. You know, so I have tokens to claim from NFTs and stuff like that and stake tokens. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna go do that. So I did all my Polygon stuff first, you know, claim stuff at 0.007 Polygon, which is like literally fucking less than a cent. Like it's less than a cent to claim my fucking honey and shit like that. But then I went to another NFT project where I have to claim shit off the Ethereum chain. And it's usually like 10, 11 bucks, which is a little expensive just to claim some tokens. But, you know, as they say, you just charge it to the game and you just kind of accept that. I went to claim my fucking tokens that night just doing my maintenance, and I hit that button and it had an estimated gas fee of $1,700
yeah,
for me to claim like 20 bucks in fucking tokens associated with this fucking NFT. That is what's really fucking insane, is that one fucking elitist jag off fucking group of NFT owners can fuck up the blockchain for anybody and everybody trying to do shit on the blockchain. So, like, say you're a dumbass and you fucking, accidentally click a link to a scam because you were just like, you just did something stupid and you needed to offload all your fucking NFTs to a secondary wallet just to make sure they were safe and you wanted to do that. Should be $5-$10 a fucking NFT. All right, cool. Cost you $100, $200 to move shit over to be safe. That's reasonable. Like, my bad, lesson learned, only cost me $100 to move. No. We got some fucking jag-off rich motherfuckers that like weird fucking monkey pictures jacking up gas prices to $2,000. Now your NFTs are stuck. You better hope that fucking link wasn't that malicious, because you're fucked too.
Well, the thing is that malicious link, they also can't move stuff either because they can't get in the queue. And technologically, I'm going to say that this is working as designed, and it is elegantly designed. Like, it is not the most efficient thing. There's layer two solutions. There's things coming that are going to make Ethereum transaction volume be better.
Yeah, I've been hearing about Ethereum 2.0 for 3 years now.
Yeah, but 2.0 isn't even the solution, right? Like, there's other protocols and layer two solutions and other things that can be done and things can migrate over to. But in the end, like, this is how it's designed, like the transaction queue and stuff like that. It's actually a beautiful system. It works very well. And this is just the peak of FOMO that people just, and it's not even that they were wrong, because if people still spent that 2.5 ETH on gas, they still profited if they sold it after when that transaction went through. Like, it was still worth spending that gas.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about anybody that burned this ETH for the Bored Ape Yacht Club. I give a fuck that I couldn't claim my smoke tokens. It's the people like me,
I mean,
who were just trying to do.
Gotta wait.
Yeah, well, that's what I think is fucked up. Is because of a bunch of rich motherfuckers got in line on the Ethereum chain to do whatever rich people shit they wanted to do on the Ethereum chain, that it fucked everybody else in the degen life.
Yeah, but it's not just that. I mean, we had a period of time where gas was high every day because of Shibu Inu, which was a token built on the Ethereum network, and it was trading in high volumes every day, and gas was sitting in the hundreds every day for weeks because of that. Like, there's inefficiencies built in because of how much is built on the Ethereum blockchain. That'll get better. But like I said, the truth is the amount of transactions that, if you look at how long it was going to take for them to transact all those blocks through, it was 90 minutes. 90 minutes they clogged up their Ethereum, and then it stayed up a little higher just from people buying stuff on the secondary market and trading it afterwards. But the system, it worked. It's just a crazy amount of FOMO. And like I said, I don't blame the Ethereum network. I think Ethereum held up and did exactly what Ethereum is supposed to do. It is the team of people who drove this hype train and FOMO train, and they just let it rip because they're Yuga Labs, and they can, and people are going to pay whatever, and they just love this, like, chaos demand, everybody rushing for the door, Black Friday sale bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like
hype train.
Just like when
do.
Walmart doesn't give a fuck when some old lady gets trampled at the front door on Thanksgiving, like, dies. They don't give a fuck either.
That's the problem that I have, is that, like, they just let it rip on that concept instead of protecting people and protecting customers, because they just didn't care, and it's just bad for the space. It's a bad look. It's not efficient, and sure, it's also not fair, if anybody gives a shit about fairness. But we can move on from ape news and NFT news. Well, actually, I did have one other NFT thing. So I linked it on here. It's on our outline, and it just says 15-year-old, and there was like a Twitter link. Well, the tweet's down now, but I'm still going to talk about what I remember from it, and I wish I
read it all last time. It was a 45 fucking thread.
47 thread. This 15-year-old who's made $17+ million in the last year and just doing, like, good on you. Like, this 15-year-old has no concept of what money really is at this point in time. Like, it is just
From the Twitter
fake
thread, you can tell, like, he had no...
He is so disassociated from what money really is in the real world. Like, it is just play money, and he is winning.
Like, literally, that's kind of what you feel from the thread, is that in his head, because he started with nothing, it was all Monopoly money to him. Whatever. If I lose $5,000 here, I never had $5,000 in my hand, so it's not like I lost $5,000. Because he goes over the many losses and mistakes he made along the way too. It's not like this kid just caught a bunch of lucky breaks and got in at the dip on a bunch of bullshit. Like no, he goes through his whole fucking story of the project, you know, when he bought high and fucking, what was it, Soul, or was it that he bought at the peak, and he lost 90% of his investment on it, when, you know, like, you know, good for this kid though. Like,
yeah, and some of it is like really just like shady tactics. So what was
the algorithm?
One of them was like he's the single largest holder of Murakami flowers, which Murakami is a traditional artist. So these things are worth several ETH as like the floor price. And it was a public raffle. Again, we talk about fair, right? What's fair? Well, Murakami tried to do a fair system where people can just register via email address to try to get into it. This kid created 20,000 email addresses. He created 20,000 email addresses and then won a stupid amount of the lottery, and it became the single largest holder of Murakami flowers and minted everything he possibly could. And like, to the tune of like, that holding in itself was something like $5 or $6 million of his $17 million that he made. And then now with Yuga Labs, you had to go through a process called KYC. You had to have KYC approved wallets in order to even mint, which is why like I couldn't even attempt to get a land. I wouldn't have, because I would not have set gas at 2.5 ETH, and I would have lost out in that bidding war there. But in the end, like, he didn't KYC his wallets. He went through a company that was buying KYC wallets, and he just spent half an ETH on a bunch of pre-approved wallets that other people did, and then were selling those wallets off. And he bought a stupid amount of pre-approved wallets and then minted out every one of those. And now he's the second largest holder of fucking Monkey Land, and is sitting on another $5 or $6 million worth of Monkey Land by buying out all these wallets and stuff like that. Like, whatever, good on this kid. He's got stones and he's just going hard.
Like, in a world where every 15-year-old capitalist around him is just selling Ace of Shitty Weed for a couple bucks, like, like, if this is my 15-year-old, I'm proud of him. Yeah, fuck them emails, kid. Get it. Can you get arrested for this? No? Get that money, son. Fuck them other people.
Yeah, just pay your taxes.
Yeah, no shit. This kid's going to get locked up at 16 for tax fraud.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a wild story. I wish the Twitter thread was still up so that way it can get shared around even more. I don't know why he took it down. I think he got like
grossed. Yeah, and he can't. Like, he can't
rushed and couldn't handle it.
Yeah, like, well, because there's so many people. It's not fair. The it's not fair. Crowd came after him hardcore.
Part of it's not fair. Yeah, like, I tried to get on Murakami flowers. You want to know what? I submitted one email address because I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, it's not like both of us don't have four emails alone anyways. I got four or five emails.
I wanted to mint Murakami, and I submitted one email. Now I'm thinking, I'm like, well, fuck. I guess I could have just cycled through a bunch of email addresses.
You didn't want that spam to your business email, so you didn't fucking register it, you know, and like, you fucking missed out. Like, and to me, honestly, when it comes to like, this is a lesson for the real world, man. Life isn't fucking fair. Life is a game that is rigged. And unless you know, like, are you willing to play it by its rigged rules, you're going to lose out. You're going to lose out. Like, you go cry to AOC all you want, I don't give a fuck. Like, you need to play the game if you want to change the rules. You need to get in. You know, if this kid takes his money and he can make a better system with it, like, cool. Yeah, do something good with your, you know, with your knowledge and in the funds you found. A lot of that happens, you know. But bottom line, sitting on the sidelines screaming fairness isn't going to fucking change anything. Like, no. You got to at some point play the game. Whether you want to benefit from the game or you want to change the game of life, you need to play it in order to fucking do either one. So shut your fucking crying ass up and get in the fucking game and do your part.
Yeah, I'm not mad at this kid. I just wish the Twitter thread was still up so that way more people can see how wild this kid's life is. But we can go ahead. Let's move on from here. We got one other little tech topic, and we'll do a quick kind of space updates. And we've got Apple Pay. The EU gave an initial ruling this week on Apple Pay being anti-competitive. And this is just more kind of standard business for Apple. This time, it's Apple Pay is anti-competitive because like the NFC technology that's on iPhones, they limit only to Apple Pay. So where like you can do the tap and pay and all that stuff. Well, you can only do that through Apple Pay. You can download other wallet apps. You could download other payment systems to your phone, but you can't use the full technology. You can't use full availability through NFC technology and Apple unless you're using Apple Pay, and they ruled that as anti-competitive. So we'll see if maybe that changes.
I don't know how I feel about this. Like, and I don't know if my analogy holds up. I'm gonna say it anyways, and you can shit all over it. Like, why do they have to let their hardware be used for their competitors' benefit? Like they're not restricting the apps on the phone. They're not restricting, you know, the customers to use their product, you know, in every way. They're just saying, like, look, like, we reserve the tap technology for our Apple users. They bought the iPhone. Like, it'd be like, you know, I don't know, like, basketball manufacturers mad that you can't play football with the basketball. It's our product. This is what we want our customers to be able to use it for. You know, Apple restricts all kinds of industries from, YouPorn doesn't have an app on the iStore. You know what I mean? They don't have to let everybody play in their sandbox. I think
this falls more in the same ruling as why, like, Microsoft Office products ended up running into trouble because it was all, like, preloaded on Windows, and Internet Explorer was preloaded, and that became an issue, right, as a anti-competitive practice. And I think it comes down to, like, yes, you own one software, you own the hardware, you're putting those products out, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can limit these other, like, Apple Pay is a separate vertical, right? The hardware is one thing. The fees you collect through being a payment processor and offering credit cards and partnerships and the, like, special discounts and deals and all that stuff, money that they get through that, is a different vertical. And to limit that,
it kind of
falls in line with, like, similar rulings, like I said, with, like, Microsoft and what they did with Office.
What's the difference of them changing the goddamn charging port every fucking day? Like, how come, you know, MDI fucking port makers can't come out and be like, it's monopolistic, Apple has their own port, they're cutting out 95% of the charger makers in the world for their own charger. Like, they get shit for it, but nobody's suing them.
They actually have been sued.
No, well, not for antitrust. Like,
maybe not that.
You know, and I don't understand what they could be sued for that anyways. It's like, it is what it is. We want our own charger. Like, yeah, but you're cutting out all the charger makers. We deserve to make some money off Apple phones too. Like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Like, this is our product. We made it. We revolutionized smartphones. If we want to save some of our fucking technology and our shit for our customers that are loyal to Apple, then that's what we want to do. We don't have to just give everybody else bullshit. Like, I just don't understand how this, like, where the legalities fall in this. Because then where do you draw the line? Like, as you get more and more towards the side of siding with the EU, then we start getting to where, like, every corporation has to open source their fucking shit because it's fair.
Like I said, I just think that this follows similar precedents. I'm indifferent. I could really care less. I tend to, when I first read the article, I was thinking, like, well, of course, like, they're, like, it's called Apple Pay, right?
Yeah.
Like, of course, they're gonna like, optimize their phone to use Apple Pay. But I guess it's a matter of whether it's optimized or like, fully restricted for you to be able to download or use other ones. Like I said, it follows precedent to other kind of tech rulings that have happened in the previous years. I'm indifferent on it. There's a lot of monopolistic behavior.
Go buy a fucking Google phone, man.
Of monopolies going on monopolistic behavior. This isn't one that I'm concerned with.
Yeah, well, like, and that's what I mean. Like, if you don't like this, you have a open market solution to it. Don't buy a fucking iPhone. If you care this much about the fact that you can't use the Cash App Touch and Pay, the fucking Venmo Touch and Pay, whatever the fuck else it could possibly be out there, if you're mad that you can't do that on Apple Pay, then don't buy a fucking iPhone. That's a free market solution without any government fucking intrusion. You know, I just don't see how this is, like, and again, we talk about monopolies all the time on this show. We are not in support of monopolistic fucking endeavors, but to me, this is just some crybaby bullshit.
All right, well, let's move on to final little segment here. Let's talk a little bit about just a couple space topics that matter to us. First one is just a quick topic on Amazon's satellite internet company. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, them essentially buying up every rocket that isn't SpaceX to launch their Kuiper satellite network to be direct competitor to Starlink. And they're rolling that out as fast as possible. And they also announced this week that they found a way to start manufacturing, and they're going to sell their satellite internet receiver for essentially a quarter of the cost of what Starlink's is in order to download. So right now, Amazon, you know, they're going to come out with like pretty competitive pricing as far as what Starlink is offering on a monthly price basis. Technology wise, it's going to probably be just as fast. It's going to mirror very much what Starlink's capable of doing. They're going to build out a network as probably wide reaching as Starlink as fast as possible. And then now they're going to be able to install it on your home, the receiver necessary, for about a quarter of the price. So Amazon's coming for you, coming for Starlink.
Well, I think Bezos is going to take like the kind of video game model and take a loss on the console to ensure that you get the internet subscriptions and everything that comes after, which is a smart play considering that nobody knows the name of Amazon's fucking... Everybody knows the name Starlink already. Nobody knows what the fuck Bezos is putting up there, really.
We know it. It's Kuiper.
Yeah, I know. We do. And the handful of fucking, you know, nerds that listen to this show know. But you don't see... Like, you see Starlink in headlines all the time. Like, especially with what's going on in Ukraine. And, like, Starlink. You know, he's gonna have to put up a fight. For just, you know, market or the, you know, name recognition.
Yeah. So either way, I think it's just showing that, you know, this low Earth orbit satellite internet kind of business design, it's gonna hit hard. I think in the next couple of years, it's gonna be pretty prevalent and pretty widespread. And there's gonna be direct competition between Amazon and Starlink on these two things. So curious to see where this is gonna go. Who's gonna come out with the top market share? I still think Starlink's got the lead, but it's like it's hard to bet against Amazon when it comes to like rolling out something and mass producing, mass marketing something. Like Amazon, as long as they can get enough satellites up in the sky, which, you know, they're having to hire out the rockets to do so, whereas Starlink's doing that all internal with SpaceX. But as long as they can get enough out there fast enough, I think they can really kind of lead the market share race against Starlink potentially.
For sure.
But and then the last topic is something like we actually talked about this back in 2019 when it first came out, when we were in our first year doing the show. So this is just a quick update. The space hotel, the orbiting rotating space hotel that was set to open in 2025. And at the time in 2019, we said, not a fucking chance. Like, there's zero chance. Something opens in 2025. This article's headline still says that it's scheduled to open in 2025. But when you read the article, it says they've already pushed it back to 2027. And I'm still saying, not a fucking chance in five years. This thing is rotating and up in space and accepting tourists in 5 years, but it's still a cool concept.
So if you look up like articles about like Earth hotel rollouts, there's all kinds of fucked up shit that be happening when hotels first go up. Pipes leaking, shit just not working. You know what I mean? Like, you really want to be the first one to go stay in this fucking hotel? Like, you really want to be the lab rat that walks around this fucking spinning fucking death trap?
Yeah, no, I'd do it for sure.
Well, that's fine. You get sucked out into space. I'll say something nice at your funeral. Like, I don't know. Like, this is a very grand endeavor. You know, we still don't really have the infrastructure to get people to the hotel properly. You know, in the rate in the rate that it would need to be profitable. Like, you need to be sending 100 motherfuckers up to that hotel daily. Like,
yeah, again, this is not going to happen in the next 5 years. But it is interesting that this company hasn't died yet. It like hasn't just completely disappeared off the face of it. It's like, no, 3 years into them saying that they're going to do it, they're still saying they're going to do it. And they're still developing the pods that they would have to ship up and put piece together and all that stuff. Like, they're still working at it. So, I don't know, like, it's a cool concept.
I want to know.
Company's not dead.
I want to know what kind of fucking, like, pods they have, like safety pods, like ejector pods they got attached to this fucking thing. Because until they do the ejector pod test up there, like, I ain't going. Like you know, like, it's call this thing fucking Space Titanic for all I fucking give a shit. Because it just don't sound safe to me. Don't.
No. Unless you all of a sudden become rich on monkey land and shit, I don't think you're affording a ticket up to go up there anyway. It's gonna be a pricey hotel stay.
Yeah, even if I became monkey rich, like, is that gonna be a term now? Is that like the bar now for rich? It's so sad. It's so sad. But yes, if I ever became monkey rich, one of the last things I will do is go to outer space. Like, I haven't even been to Europe yet. You know what I'm saying? I've visited probably 8 out of 50 states of my own country. Like, I'm not gonna Fair. Drop a couple milli to go to outer space when, like, I could drop a couple G's and fucking see Montana. See what that be about, you know? Like, I heard there's this nice park called Yosemite that people go to. Maybe I check that motherfucker out once. Like, there's so many places on list of things to go that I don't have to leave orbit to, that I won't see in a lifetime unless I become rich, that, you know, I hit a couple, you know, 100 million. Like, nah, man, fuck that space hotel.
All right, well, that's Week in News. And as always, go ahead, join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join us over in the group over there. If you're not there already, give us a rating on Spotify. That's the ask that we're giving lately.
Yeah, we're pushing.
And then just join us again next week.
And just in case Ken doesn't fix his gaffe because we're time constrained for editing. This is actually episode 203.
Yeah, I'm not going to fix anything.
Yeah, so if you caught that, if you caught that in the beginning, this is actually episode 203, and we're going to keep it funky and keep it moving.
All right, until next week, nerds.
See ya.